Our reading is one of the best loved psalms in the Bible. It's probably one of the best known. And I'm reading from the King James Version because I think it reads best in the King James Version than any of the others. And you've probably realized it's Psalm 23. And it was written by King David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity given to me to share God's word. I was surprised this morning when Marian came and read from the King James Version. I thought you don't, in this church, you don't love King James Version. I'm going to be preaching from the King James Version. This is a beautiful psalm, loved by young and old. You know, we have our parents have taught this psalm, and maybe we have learned this psalm in the Sunday school, and some of us have memorized this psalm, and this psalm has been very helpful to us in all times. You know, sometimes when we are downhearted, during the loss of someone, you know, we read this psalm, and this psalm really comforts us and lifts our spirits, isn't it? So it's a very good psalm. And so this morning, I'm going to speak to you about the threefold work of the chief shepherd in a believer's life. The threefold work of the chief shepherd in a believer's life. Now, we are right in the midst of a Lent season. And, you know, when you start reading the book of Psalms, there are several psalms that speaks about Christ and his mission. Specifically, Psalm 22, 23, and 24 speaks about Christ and his mission. Now, Psalm 22 speaks about the good shepherd who gives his life for humanity. And Psalm 23 speaks about the chief shepherd. And Psalm 24 speaks about the great shepherd. Now, Psalm 22 speaks about the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary through the shedding of his blood. And Psalm 24 speaks about the future, about what he's going to do when he comes back to this earth. But Psalm 23 speaks about the present work of Christ in a believer's life. And that's what we are going to be seeing today. You know, this first verse is like the introduction to that psalm. You know, the first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, the first verse could be divided into two parts. You know, the first verse says, the first line says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now we need to understand, when we read this psalm, David is writing this psalm. He was a shepherd, and he was looking after his sheep. as he looks after while he looks after the sheep, he's just thinking about the great shepherd. Thinking about the chief shepherd, Jehovah God, how he is looking after his people. You know, in the Old Testament, God has always revealed himself as the shepherd of the people of Israel. So, with that background, he's writing this psalm. So, when you say shepherd, we also see in the New Testament, John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." So, when we say shepherd, Jesus is the shepherd. And then, as we break that verse, then it says, "The Lord is." The word "is" signifies that it is in the now, presently. So, Jesus is the shepherd now in our life. And then the word Lord speaks of, signifies that he is the master, is the owner of my life. And then we see the word "my." "My" signifies it's something personal. Something that is belonging to me. So the psalmist is trying to say that Jesus is my shepherd. It's not someone else's shepherd. It's my shepherd. I'm sure most of you might know, there was a Shakespearean actor called Robert Sheldon. Now, this Robert Sheldon was very famous for his one-man shows of readings and recitations. And every time when he has finished his performance, he would read Psalm. He would finish his program by reading Psalm 23. And when he starts reading, "The Lord is my shepherd," everybody would listen to the psalm very attentively, because he was a great actor, great orator. So everybody would be listening to it very attentively. And then when he finishes the psalm, there would be a thunderous applause. One day, when he finished reading this psalm, and as he was about to read Psalm 23, there was a young man who was seated in the congregation. He rose up and said, "Sir, do you mind if I could read the Psalm 23 today?" Robert Sheldon was taken aback, but still realizing that this young man is no match to his ability and experience, he said, "Okay, you can read." So he invited the young man to come to the stage, and he asked him to read Psalm 23. So this young man, he began to read Psalm 23 with a small voice, very softly he was reading Psalm 23. When he had finished reading Psalm 23, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation, but only what could be heard was the sound of weeping. Robert Sheldon was astonished. He couldn't understand what was going on. So Robert Sheldon, he turned to that young man and he said, "I am a man of experience. I've been reciting Psalm 23 for years now, But I have never been able to move the audience like you have moved today. And then he asked, what is the secret? Then the young man looked at his face and said, sir, you know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. Amen. You know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. You know, the secret of Christian life is having a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Having a personal relationship with the chief shepherd. So, as we come to the next part of the first verse, you know, it says, if Jesus is your shepherd, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you will, he says, I shall not want. You will not lack anything in your life. God will see to it that you have what you need for the existence of your life. So now let's go to the first point. You know, verse 2 and 3 speaks about the guidance of the chief shepherd. The guidance of the chief shepherd. That's in verse 2 to 3. You know, the first thing he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, what does that speaks of? You know, that speaks of satisfaction. You know, when you are a Christian, when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a satisfaction that comes into your life. You know, today, we see, sometimes, you know, we are not satisfied. We try to seek that satisfaction through various ways, you know, through wealth, through accumulating wealth, through acquiring knowledge. Some of us try to satisfy ourselves with sports, buying mansions, luxury cars, hobbies. Some try to satisfy themselves through alcohol, drugs, various things. We try to satisfy ourselves through various things, but none of those things could satisfy us. None of those things could give a lasting satisfaction to a Christian's life. You know, you will want more until you find Christ in your life. You will want more and more and more. You know, when God created us, you know, God has put a vacuum in our hearts. There is a vacuum in our hearts, you know, which can only be filled with God himself. Only God can fill that vacuum. Nothing else in this world could fill that vacuum. So until God fills that vacuum, there won't be that satisfaction. So when Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior and Shepherd, he gives you that satisfaction. Secondly, it says, I want to remind you about Solomon. You know, Solomon was a man who had everything. He had knowledge, he had wealth, he had everything that he needed in his life. He had wives and concubines, and maybe he didn't have sports cars, but he had golden chariots, probably. He had everything. He enjoyed everything. But at the end of the day, he said, vanity, vanity, vanity. Everything under the sun is vanity. He found out that without God, everything else is vanity. There is no satisfaction. And in Philippians 4:12, the Apostle Paul said, I have learned to be content with what I have. Why? Because he has found the person who can give him the lasting satisfaction. Secondly, he says, he leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me beside still waters. Now, what does still waters mean? You know, people who have been to Israel, I have never been there, but what I hear and what I've read, you know, the streams and rivers, they run very fast. For example, if you talk about River Jordan, you know, it's rising up in the hills and it's falling into the Red Sea, which is 1,400 feet below sea level. So the waters always run fast. So what does the shepherd do? You know, if the sheep goes and drinks water in those streams, the sheep could be carried away. So what he would do, he would kneel down, take the water in his hand like this, and give to the sheep, and the sheep would drink the water like this. So that's what it says here. He leads me to still waters. So still waters, it speaks about peace. Still water speaks about peace in our lives. You know, today, you know, our peace is shattered through various means. You know, in the morning, you switch on your TV, your peace is shattered. There is a bomb blasting somewhere. There is someone being killed, somebody kidnapped, somebody being raped. You know, our peace is being shattered. Various things happens in our lives that shatters our peace. Maybe sudden loss of someone, or a divorce, a break in relationship, or you lose your job suddenly. You know, you go to office in the morning. You don't know whether you are going to have that job when you come back. You know, so many things happens in our life that shatters our peace. And here the psalmist is saying, he leads me to still waters. He gives me peace. My dear friends, Jesus said in John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith in me as well. Then in 14:28 of John, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. My peace is different. It's a lasting peace. So my friends, if you don't have that peace, Jesus can give you that lasting peace. Thirdly, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Now, restoration. What does restoration mean? Restoration means bringing something back to its original condition. You know, as I said before, you know, sometimes our hearts are broken, our peace is shattered. You know, in times like that, you know, God is saying, I will restore you back. I will give back the peace that you need. I will give back the joy that you need. I will bring back the healing that you need. I will bring back rebuild that relationship. I will give what you have lost. God is someone who restores our life. So the chief shepherd guides us to restoration. And then it says, he leads me into the paths of righteousness. He leads me into the paths of righteousness. You know, when today, this morning, you know, we have through the songs, through the poems, through the readings, you know, we have been speaking about sheep and lamb. You know, one of the things about the sheep is, you know, we read in the Bible, it says, the Bible says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. As Pamela said, one sheep goes and every other sheep follows. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone to his own way. You know, so we are like sheep. We are weak. We don't know what to choose, where to go. We do not know to make the right decisions in our life. But as we commit our life to Jesus, and when He is the Lord of our lives, when He is the shepherd of our lives, it leads us in the right path. You know, in Psalm 37:23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yes, we may make mistakes. We might take the wrong decision. We might choose the wrong partner. We might choose the wrong career. But if we are committed to Him, He will lead us in the right way. So this is the guidance of the Good Shepherd. Then we come to the second part of the psalm. Verse 4, the protection of the Good Shepherd. Earlier on we saw the guidance of the Good Shepherd. Now we see the protection of the Chief Shepherd. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What an assurance. You know, in that verse, you know, you can, even that verse could be broken into two. You know, the first part is promising God's presence. Promise, we have the promise of His presence. He says, thou art with me. You know, in my daily life, you know, there are so many things that I'm coming across. I'm coming across the attacks of the enemy. I'm going through ups and downs. You know, Christian life is not a bed of roses. There are ups and downs. There are things that we come across that we don't expect. You know, in such times, you know, we can be assured that God is promising His presence with us. He says, Psalmist David is saying, thou art with me. You know, I'm remembered of a story, you know, in the long time ago, there was a British missionary who was serving in the mission field in Africa. Now, those were days when there was no cars and so on. And this missionary, you know, he used to daily used to go to the nearby villages and share the goodness of Jesus Christ. He used to go in his horse, and he used to go through those jungles to preach the gospel. Now there were some thieves in the jungles, and they were watching this Englishman, this British missionary, passing the jungle every day. So they thought, we must attack him, and we must relieve him of all the valuables. They wanted to take his watch, they wanted to take his money, they wanted to take his clothes, they wanted to take everything. So what they did was, you know, he used to pass through a footpath in his horse, and so they were waiting till he goes to the village. So after he passed the village, you know, what they did was, you know, they tied a pole between two trees on the side of the footpath, so that when he comes in the comes back in the dark in the horse, you know, so as he comes, his chest will strike the pole, and he will fall down, so they could come and take all his goods and also the horse. That was their plan. So they were waiting in the darkness, and this missionary, as usual, he finished his ministry in that village, and he was coming back. And as he was coming back, you know, now the thieves, they are happy. Oh, in another few minutes, this missionary is going to fall. We are going to take all the valuables from him. They are happy, happily waiting. But the horse was coming. They could hear the sound of the horse, and the, you know, they were the thieves on both sides. The horse was coming, and it just passed that pole, and the missionary was continually, he was going. He didn't fall. They were surprised. How could this be? So the thieves, they were convicted. They ran to the missionary and they fell down on his feet and said, "Sir, how did you escape? What happened?" Then the missionary was surprised. He said, "What? Why? Then they took the missionary and they showed the pole that they had tied to strike his chest. The missionary too was surprised. He said, "I didn't see this." And then, as the missionary was wondering, how could this have happened? Of course, I mean, definitely God has protected me, but how did this happen? Then he remembered, as he was coming in the horse, at one point, a mosquito bit him on his ankle. So he bent to bent to kill the mosquito. At that time, the horse had passed the pole. See how God is? The God whom we serve is a loving God. He's a mighty God. He can even send a mosquito to save you from your danger. Amen. So he says, "The Lord is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So there is the promise of the presence of God himself with us. Secondly, in that verse, then we see, he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, when you talk about the rod and staff, you know, there's so much. I can speak for about 15, 20 minutes maybe about rod and staff. There's so much you can say, but I don't want to take time on that now. But the rod and the staff, they represent the Word of God. You know, the Word of God comforts us. The rod and staff, they represent the Word of God. So they both mean the Word of God. So we have the promise of God's presence. Then also, we have the promise of God's word with us. You know, one of the things that we need to be happy about as a Christian is God has given us three weapons to overcome the enemy. God has given us three weapons to defend ourselves. Those three weapons are, one, the name of Jesus. Secondly, the word of God. Thirdly, the blood of Jesus. These three are strong weapons. In the book of Corinthians, we read, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the Holy Ghost to bring down the strongholds of the enemy." So, therefore, my friends, be comforted. The chief shepherd will protect you. And lastly, we come to verse 5. When we come to verse 5, we see the provision of the chief shepherd. Firstly, we saw the guidance of the chief shepherd. Secondly, the protection of the chief shepherd. Now, thirdly, we see the provision of the chief shepherd. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." A table prepared. Now, a table prepared, what does that mean? It speaks about blessings. Spiritual, physical, material blessings. God has promised blessings to his children. You know, God wants to bless us. You know, sometimes, you know, it's very difficult for Christians to digest that. You know, they think, you know, no, Christian life, you know, we always say, you know, Christian life is not a bed of roses. There's ups and downs. Of course, there's ups and downs. Of course, it's not a bed of roses. But also, at the same time, don't forget, God wants to bless you. I mean, when we speak about blessing, you know, we always think about finance. You know, blessing can be in different ways. You know, God wants to bless us in different ways, not just financially only, in different ways. So the blessing comes spiritually, physically, and materially. It is God's will to bless us. You know, after God created Adam and Eve, do you know what was the first word that came out of the mouth of God? Can anyone tell me? The first word that came out of the mouth of God was, it says, Bible says in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God blessed them. And then he went on to say the other things. So it is God's desire to bless us. And in John, 3 John, 2nd chapter, we read, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." I mean, this is not a man saying. These are not words of a human being. These are words coming from your loving Father. He says, "I want you to be blessed. I want you to prosper. I want you to be in good health. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to be fulfilled. I want to see your dreams come true." That is our God. We have a loving Father. Then it says in verse 5, the second part of verse 5 says, And thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, when you read the Old Testament, oil always speaks about the Holy Spirit. Now, God has given every Christian the Holy Spirit. Every Christian can have and enjoy and experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their life. The moment a person becomes a Christian, he is sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is through the working of the Holy Spirit that we can live a joyful life. It is through the working of the Holy Spirit you can live a victorious life. It is through the working of the Holy Spirit you are able to overcome temptations, overcome the enemy. So the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. You know, in Psalm 16, you know, David says, "I have set the Lord before me at all times. And because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved." And today, you know, we are living in the New Testament. Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be your comforter. He will be your guide. He will be the one who will take you through all the truths. He will be your advocate. He will be by your side. So make the Holy Spirit of God the senior partner in your life. If we make the Holy Spirit as the senior partner in our life, we can be rest assured that we will be blessed. We will be joyful in every situation. We will be, all our needs will be met, and that we will be walking in the right path. And the third part of that verse says, my cup runneth over. When Jesus is the shepherd of our lives, when Jesus is the Lord of our lives, there is no room for us to be lacking in anything. Our cups will run over. Not only we will be blessed, we will also be a blessing to other people. You know, in Genesis chapter 12, when God blessed Abraham, he said, I'm blessing you today. You are blessed, and you will be a blessing to the nations. And every one of us who are seated here, God has called us to be a blessing and also to be a blessing to other people. And then, when we come to verse 6 is the conclusion of that psalm. You know, when we come to verse 6, psalm is David's faith is rising. His hope is increasing. He's saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of my life. You know, all the goodness that we have been speaking up to now, the guidance of the chief shepherd, the protection of the chief shepherd, the provision of the great shepherd, all these things shall follow all the days of my life. And then in the second part he says, if he has blessed me in this life, if he has guided me in this life, if he has protected me in this life, if he has provided for me in this life, I can be rest assured I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That is the faith of the sheep that is totally dependent upon the shepherd. And we are all sheep here today, totally dependent upon the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. So he's assuring you today that if you have a personal relationship with him, that he will guide you, he will protect you, and also he will provide for you. God bless you.